won the debate? That's what everybody's asking today. And you know what? I have the answer. It's pretty simple. It was President Donald Trump. Outstanding job from him there on stage in Tennessee last night. The change agent was back in great form up against a career politician. 47 years he's had in public. He's got loads of one-liners there. And don't get me wrong, Joe Biden was a formidable opponent and did a decent job. But President Trump was better. And you know what? His policy is better. And therefore, he won. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. You know, I was pleased to see the moderator, sort of, and I mean sort of, because she didn't really get an answer to her question, but she asked the question about conflicts of interest there between Ukraine and China and Joe Biden. He shot it down there, said, you know, I've never taken any money from any of these countries. He didn't provide any insight into his son's laptop or whether or not any of those emails on the laptop are real or not, whether the texts are real or not. My sources say they are. They absolutely are real. And a former business associate of Biden says they are real. And the director of intelligence for the U.S. government now says they are real. And though she didn't push them, at least she had the decency to ask the question, which is not what we have seen, shall we say, from some other reporters. Think about the 90-minute town hall that Joe Biden did the other day with ABC. Did we see the former Clinton staffer who was moderating that thing ask a single question about the laptop? No. You know, we saw a CBS News reporter last weekend ask the question. He immediately got shot down in a big, big way by Joe Biden, who basically turned it on its head and started accusing the reporter of trafficking in a smear campaign. Anyway, this is what he does. He's a politician, right? 47 years in the business. He's pretty slick. And I'll tell you this, I'm pretty darn sick of politicians. I'm tired of them. You know, I worry about the swamp. I really do. And I worry about these conflicts of interest between the family and the business dealings. I'm especially worried because the left has gotten to a place where, you know what? It's a dangerous place. It's a place that it's never really been before. When you talk about a $4 trillion tax plan, which is what Biden has, I mean, that's like more than double what Hillary Clinton ever proposed. We're talking about proposals that would send America in a very, very dangerous direction economically. And yet this is just, you know, just rolls off their tongue. Free college, free healthcare, free housing, free monthly stipend, basic income. You know, you get the picture, right? So basically this puts our entire economy, the future of our economy, very much at risk, not to mention the darn court. They're talking about packing the court, of course. This is what they want to do because they're not getting their way. Amy Comey Barrett is about to be confirmed. They're not happy about it. And so if they win, they'd go nuclear on us. And, you know, look, whether it's the courts, which is frankly the foundation of our country. I mean, the separation of powers is so critical, really, to the success of our country. Or whether it's our economy that they want to take in a socialist direction. I'm sorry, I'm with 50 Cent on this one. I'm going to have to start listening to his music because he gets it. The guy's smart, right? He's like 62% of my income. I don't think I want to turn that over to Uncle Sam, or in this case, Uncle Joe, right? You know, they're out there. They're trying to hit the president really hard on coronavirus. And I get it. But let's be clear. Joe Biden's administration that he shared with Barack Obama was not good on the economy, nor, frankly, was it good on swine flu. I have some very specific and personal details to share with you next. So this virus came basically out of nowhere, or shall we say, it came out of China, and hit us hard, really, really hard, and all of a sudden, and it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, right? That's easy to say, oh, we should have done this, we should have done this. I'll give the president credit. He was willing to say, okay, I'm going to shut down travel from China. I had actually talked about this repeatedly on my primetime show, saying we need to do this. And I was impressed. He came through with it. And it was clear it needed to be done. And we needed to shut down travel from Europe, which we also shortly thereafter did. But let's go back to those moments, right? When you think about February and you think about March, we didn't really entirely understand what we were dealing with. Nonetheless, you saw a rabid political environment where the left was willing to politicize this, frankly, for their own gain. And, you know, I remember, and I reported on this at the time, swine flu, right? Because you compare and contrast the administration, the Barack Obama and Joe Biden administration's response to swine flu, you compare and contrast it with what we've seen on coronavirus. And frankly, those guys did not do a very good job. And I remember this all so well. You know why? I was pregnant with my two beautiful daughters, my twin daughters at that time. And swine flu was a really big deal. And it was really, really dangerous to pregnant women. And it was really dangerous in terms of losing the babies. And I remember being so scared. And I used to go into the New York Stock Exchange every single day to do my show. I had an 11 a.m. show, 11 to 12 during open stock market hours. And I would be there, you know, as pregnant as I was. And right up into the last day, actually, I think the traders were getting kind of nervous at the end. They were ready to, you know, go into emergency action if need be. But anyway, I was there every day and I was very pregnant with these twin babies that I was so, so excited to have. And this virus came on the scene, swine flu. And I remember not being able to get the vaccine and being really worried about it. I mean, you could not get this vaccine anywhere. They supposedly had this vaccine, right? But no one could get it. I called every doctor in town. And you know what? I had great doctors there at my hospital in New York City in Cornell Weill. I called them. Nobody had it. I called, you know, my doctors, friends' doctors. Nobody had this thing, right? So unbelievable. So one day I go into work at the New York Stock Exchange and I'm putting the Lysol all over me and I'm being super careful and trying to take extra precautions. And one of my friends says, "Hey, Trish, no big deal. Just go to the office here. We've got the vaccine." This is one of the traders. And I'm like, "What do you mean you have the vaccine?" "Yeah, we got it," he says. "We got the vaccine. For anybody here at the New York Stock Exchange, we've got it." So what did I do? I went to the office and sure enough, the New York Stock Exchange, for all the women they have on the floor there, right? There were like five of us. I was a reporter. Probably the other three were reporters, maybe one trader there that was female. You know, women, pregnant women and children were most vulnerable at the time. But what do you know? It turns out the New York Stock Exchange had this vaccine. Lo and behold. Well, it turns out they wouldn't give it to me because I was not a New York Stock Exchange employee. So then I started doing a little investigative reporting. And before you knew it, I found out that Goldman Sachs had this thing, that JP Morgan had this thing, that Morgan Stanley had this. Everybody, all the big banks on Wall Street had the darn vaccine. And yet, Cornell Weill, major hospital there in New York, New York Presbyterian, NYU, none of them had the vaccine. My OBGYN did not have the vaccine, but Morgan Stanley did. What do you know? So anyway, long story short, I decided to do a story on it. I was working for NBC at the time. And we led the Today Show with none other than this story. I later found out from the producer that the White House called up, Barack Obama's White House, all upset, of course. Well, he should be upset because you know what? It's pretty outrageous to think that the New York Stock Exchange and these big investment banks all had access to this vaccine while pregnant women who were especially vulnerable couldn't get it, okay? So I only point this out because there's Joe Biden trying to take this, you know, victory lap. Like he just managed this whole crisis with the swine flu so beautifully. And Ebola too, right? He didn't. Okay. He didn't. It was a disaster. He just got lucky in that it was not coronavirus. Coronavirus is far more deadly in that it's so much more contagious. Okay. But swine flu was pretty bad. And thank goodness I never got it. And thank goodness I did that story. And guess what? Lo and behold, all the doctors in New York City, what do you know? They all managed to get the vaccine shortly thereafter. So I was pretty proud of that. That was a good example of how you can have a positive influence, shall we say, as a reporter. Anyway, when Joe Biden tries to sit there and tell us that he managed that well, my only response is, nobody, you didn't. You sure didn't. Okay, coming up next, one other thing they try and say they did so, so well was manage our economy. Guess what? They didn't manage our economy well either. And I've got proof of that. Plus, our economy is doing really, really well. We have a lot to be proud of. Have you seen the home sales data? And coming up, oh boy, we got to talk about Chris Cuomo, the anchor over on CNN. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Apparently, you know, he does not practice what he preaches. I've got the story after this. I get so tired of the hypocrisy. Do you get tired of the hypocrisy? I mean, how many times do they have to tell us about the darn masks? For goodness sakes, Joe Biden there on stage kept pulling up his mask like over and over again. At some point, I realized, wow, this is like his prop, right? They gave him that and said, bring it out on stage with you and just keep holding it up. The prop that you need to show the viewers there. Anyway, you know, somebody else has talked a lot about masks, happens to have a primetime gig over on CNN, and his brother happens to be the governor of New York. And we have heard at length, right, how important the masks are. Interestingly enough, this same anchor wound up with coronavirus himself, got in a little bit of trouble because he was sort of out and about while he had it, allegedly. I shouldn't even say allegedly. I think there were pictures of him out and about and somebody was getting really annoyed about it. Anyway, now there is a new scandal unfolding. It turns out that apparently this anchor, Chris Cuomo is his name, he has been cited by his building. He's been cited. This is according to Fox. Apparently they obtained a letter that had been sent to him by the building saying, and I quote, "You have been observed entering and exiting the building and riding the elevator without the required face coverings. Even though staff members have asked you to comply with this requirement, you have refused to do so. This is a violation of the executive order building policy." Oh, they got executive orders in the building. How about that? "And places other residents and our staff at risk." Well, they're right on that. "There are no exceptions to this rule, and you are required to comply." And they are threatening a $500 fine if he doesn't. I mean, I can't believe he's not complying. For goodness sakes. I mean, the guy makes it like his platform, right? You know, wear the masks. His brother makes it his platform, wear the masks. And here he is going in and out of his New York City building. Does he think nobody's going to like notice that he's not wearing a mask? This is so annoying. You know, this is what I just can't stand about the left, because there's so much hypocrisy there. I mean, I think about it. And I actually wear my mask. And you know me, I'm such a big believer in the individual, right? And it's my individual choice whether or not I wear that darn mask. And I believe in having that right as an individual to decide whether or not I'm going to wear my mask. I don't wear it when I'm outside. I mean, there's some people, you know, you walk down by the beach and they're scolding you because you don't have one, even though you're 30 feet away from them and it's windy outside, etc. But nonetheless, it is my choice to wear the mask. And if I'm going out in a store, et cetera, if I'm going out and in and out of a public place, then yeah, I'm going to wear it. And by the way, if I'm anchor of a show where I sit there and talk about how important it is to wear the darn mask all the time, then I'm definitely going to wear it, right? But apparently he doesn't think he needs to. Anyway, such is the left these days. We need to talk about the economy in a meaningful way coming up, because I'm really getting tired of Barack Obama trying to insist that he is the reason that Donald Trump saw success in 2016, 2017, 18, 19. He's not. He absolutely is not. There were a lot of great things that this president did, and there's a lot of great things that he's still doing. Have you seen the home sales data? Really, really incredible numbers. We're going to talk about them next. How do you like this? Existing home sales rose 9.4% in the month of September. That is what, 4 straight months of gains? We are now at a 14-year high for the month of September. I mean, this is record territory. And how great is that? Really and truly, how great is that to see? You know, I guess if you want to sell your home right now, it's a really good time. People are looking to buy homes because you know what? They want to settle down and they want to nest. And this is why when I go to Home Depot on the weekend, just a couple of weekends ago, I was in Home Depot and I was amazed by the crowds and by the way, how friendly everybody was. And the guys at the store were telling me, you know what? This is kind of like the scene, right? Everybody's coming to Home Depot now because they are willing to spend money and they're thinking about how they spend it and they want to spend it on their home because I get it, right? This makes sense. I mean, if you only have so much disposable income and you're not going out to concerts and you're not going out to dinner, you're not doing all those sort of social things, Maybe you're going and you're spending it on your home because you're in sort of a nesting mode, if you would. But anyway, that's clear judging from some of these numbers. 9.4% rise in existing home sales for the month of September from August. That was a seasonally adjusted rate of 6.54 million. Highest rate since May 2006. How do you like it? From the National Association of Realtors. The September sales marks a 20.9%, so basically 21% increase from a year earlier. This is really important stuff to see, and I think it's very indicative of a positive environment. As challenging as it has been, frankly, since March, you look at, for example, the number of people coming off unemployment, and there was a stat just yesterday that proved less than 800,000 people were filing for insurance benefits. Really, you know, still a large number, but nonetheless, it's coming down. And what we've seen is since March, the largest number of people, more than 15 million in the history of this country, have been coming off of the unemployment rolls. So that is exciting stuff. You look at the unemployment number, that keeps coming down. And then you think about median incomes, which have shown some improvement. By the way, a heck of an improvement between 2016 and 2019 compared with the Obama-Biden years. In fact, median incomes for poor Americans, they grew by 9%, and middle-income Americans saw an increase of 6.8%. I mean, this is really, really good stuff. And you know what happened during the Barack Obama, Joe Biden years? Median incomes went down. They went down. Higher incomes went up, by the way. The rich did better in that environment. Why? Because, you know, they were doing better with the stock market, this, that, and the other. And you had an environment that really catered to the wealthiest in society as well as the poorest, but the middle class kept getting squeezed. Think about that hourglass economy, right, that I keep talking about, where the middle keeps on getting squeezed. We've started to see some relief during the Trump administration. But the question is, what happens? What happens if Joe Biden, not Barack Obama. I was going to say Barack Obama and Joe Biden come in again. It would be Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. If they come in, what happens to our economy then? All this great stuff, right, that we've started and that got put on hold because of coronavirus, but is starting up again. Do all those policies get reversed? The short answer is yes. I mean, they're talking about raising business taxes to 28% from 21%. They're talking about taking income taxes way, way up. I mean, heck, 50 Cent gets it. I loved it. He said, I don't want to be 20 Cent. You know, nobody wants to see their income go down like that. And yet 50 Cent is looking at it saying, wait a second. If I live in New York, I'm looking at upwards of 62% of my income going to Uncle Sam, or in this case, I guess, Uncle Joe. And he's right to be concerned about that. I mean, these are real, real concerns. And we haven't even talked about capital gains. Capital gains is the tax that they're going to put on you for any investment gains you make in the market. And, you know, Joe Biden wants you to, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't make more than $1 million, it's not going to affect you. But here's the thing. A lot of people that do invest do make a lot of money, right? And they put a lot of money into the market. And so you may think, oh, it's not going to matter because I don't make that much. But in actuality, these things have ripple effects. And so if the top earners who are making more than $1 million say, well, I'm not going to invest right now because I've already paid taxes on this money and I have to put it back in. And heck, it could go to zero. And if it does make any money, is it really worth paying nearly 40% capital gains? These are fair questions. It will suppress investment. And so what you're going to see, and there have been numerous studies, both from the Hoover Institution, as well as UChicago, that are saying it's going to result in a reduction of median incomes. Your median income in America for a family will go down, UChicago estimates, by up to $8,000 per family. So, you know, when he says it's not really going to matter, that's not quite true. And I think it's important to think through all of these things. Not that anybody is. I mean, someone said to me the other day, you know, a lot of Americans, they can't even spell policy. You keep talking about policy. And I'm like, yeah, but you know what? Policy really does matter. And I realize what the left is doing. They are trying their darndest, right, to just get you to think about personality. They want you to think about good versus evil, not even bad. I mean, it's like good versus evil. This is why Kamala Harris celebrates her birthday with the Avengers cast from Hollywood, her 56th birthday, and talks about the similarities between that Hollywood movie, this fictitious, you know, movie and real world stuff. It's because they constantly want to drill down on how he is evil. And so you need to vote for good. But if you really peel back the layers and you try and understand what's actually going on and what is at stake economically as well as internationally, we haven't even gotten into that in terms of what Iran might be up to and the upset that really could come with a Biden win in terms of foreign policy. And we've already seen evidence now of Iran, according to our national intelligence director, trying to interfere, if you would, in this election to try and aid Biden. I mean, there are some real concerns on the economic front and on the international front. And so I do think policy matters. And I hope the left is not able to get us away from the stuff that actually will affect everyday Americans' lives. It's so good to talk to you all. You know what? They are trying their darndest, right, to shut us down, but we're not going to let it happen. I am on trishintel.com, so please go there. Check out all the stories that I am following. The truth must be told.